address is Central Trace now. We used to go down to the old city and the Western Mall almost daily. It wasn't any novelty for us to go down the hall. And it was looking dirty and messed up. And we would go and we would see many of the people there praying and putting their little masks and petitions and putting their stones that they needed. So anyway, we stayed in the grand tour, as you recall. And then we came home. You see, this was all before the Depression. And then we came home, and then came Depression started shortly thereafter, because I started to call it the Depression pretty much in the I guess that was the interesting thing about my wedding, because, went to college. Had a real nice time, and we took nice trips and so on and so forth. And then I met my... I had known who he was for a long time, and he knew who I was, because he went to B'nai Israel, and I went. And he used to sit on the side with his father. That put me over the side, like this. And I used to sit over there, and kind of look at him, and kind of look at me, but we were never formally introduced to this. Until there was a touring carnival at the YMWH where my sister was to
meet. Where was that
last year?
Oh,
that's
it. Oh,
it was
the same place.
Yeah. And I went there with a friend of mine, and he was there with a cousin who sat up on the stage about the beach and had a wonderful. And this friend of mine kept dropping everything, and he was sitting on the other side of her, and he kept picking up her things. I thought this is really too silly. So I said, this is Irene, you're Ted Abrams. And he said, yes, this is Irene. So we were never really formally introduced. Next day he called me for the day. And from then on, shortly thereafter, we were on the day and went to bed a couple of times and we were engaged. And then when we got married in October 3rd, 1933, the Depression was still pretty much with us. It was just beginning. Well, Mother being such a prominent woman and having so many friends, me being the only daughter, and God forbid that she shouldn't have a big wedding. So I guess we had a wedding band all day. we had it at the funeral. And because it was a person, because it had been a person, such a long time, he was just older. The wedding took on a special charm. And we had it at the funeral. Almost traditionally, we came to the Cheney Hotel, which is now the student room. And that was where we had our dinner. And I think everybody in the world must have been there at the bad wedding, because even now, 23 years later, I hear people saying, do you know I was to your wedding? And I look at them and I think, I didn't know you then. I'm sure you weren't invited. But it was at the synagogue, so they just did one day. A church, a synagogue, that is a both of them.
That
was it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of your growing up years? As an adolescent, maybe games you played, what you did for entertainment?
Well, I think I did what most of the other young people in my particular, I hate to call it social strata, that's a little snobbish, I don't think that, but in my particular group, I think we, my group was psychically the same thing. We would have dates, as a grown young woman, do you mean?
No,
as an adolescent, we went to the movies, we went to each other's homes, we had parties. We had boy and girl parties, we had girl luncheons, we celebrated the Halloween parties and things of that kind, occasionally forum parties, not too often, but that's really kind of nice. But we used to go to the Davis Theater. I don't think you would know where that is. That's down. The Davis Theater was on Oliver Avenue, where the back part of the, let's see, what is this in there? That's the Williamson Hotel. I think Williamson Hotel is in there. That was the day that there used to be a vaudeville system. And we used to go there very often on a Saturday afternoon. Very often to the vaudeville. We'd go to Venus, buy some candy, or have some lunch. And then go there. But otherwise, we went to Venus. A lot of concerts, great many concerts. Mae Beagle, that's a very common name in music. She was the, what do you call the person for the concert center? Like Solitaire Rock, that kind of thing. Well, she used to bring the most marvelous concerts than they used to be at Trinity Music Hall. And we would never think of going there unless we were one. Oh, we were marvelous. See, that happened even after I was married, like in 1934, 35, or 36. We would never go there without being in the stage. We would never go to theater on a Monday or a Saturday night unless we were there.
A Monday night?
Monday night was a big opening night. The living was a drinking form.
Did you ever do any volunteer work?
Oh, yes. I had to tell you, well, I worked in the council, the junior council at that time.
Do you remember what you did?
I remember it every day, I suppose. I don't really remember now. But that was my, and then later on, I was back in the school. I was in the Greek club at Pitt. Then immediately after I got married, I got right into by that time, Mother was president of the Jewish Home for Babies and Children. And one of the first things I had to do then, I believe, was either programming or personal interest. I really forgot. Or maybe it's a couple of things. But it was one of the decisions for that. And then I got into Sisterhood was right. And things, because I think this group was hardly at all until I was the president.
And
now Maxine is the president. She's a third generation.
That's your daughter, Maxine?
Maxine Horn. This is Richard Horn.
Could you tell us about your children?
You want me to start? I'll never stop.
Okay.
They're very nice girls, that I tell you. And what shall I tell you, Dad? That we have kind of a very happy life with them. We're very proud of them. Maxine is married to Richard Horn, and they have three daughters, Deborah, Anne, and Judy. I think, and Barbara, Mrs. Hudson, who's Arnold Gold, lived in the world, but they have Joseph, Janet, and Jim. And I must say that all of them are very bright, very darling kids. Very proud of the way my girls have established the sensible standards and priorities. I don't think that I know they're not the same as mine, but I don't think they're quite as strict as mine were. But I think they're sensitive. And they help. I think the intelligence is the most important aspect of your approach. That's the important. You have to be hard and sensitive. Though I must admit, in the past I have, because I too have been young, and anybody that is young, they have to be hard to work, like part of the nature of things.
When were your daughters born?
Maxine was born 40 years ago. That was the 36. And Barbara is 35. She will be 36. So far as their own education is concerned, Maxine went to University of Purdue University, and then she finished at the University of Pittsburgh. Barbara went to Michigan and also finished at the University of Pittsburgh, and the reason for that was that both my husband and I had a feeling that if they were to stay away for 4 years, this was a very usual feeling, wasn't uncommon at all among our generation. Staying away for 4 years destroyed their contacts at home. They lost their contacts at home. And we wanted them to retain their contacts. Therefore, we had told them when college first was thought about that they would have an opportunity to stay away just a very short time, and then we expected them to return to Pittsburgh, and they went away with that knowledge. Maxine majored in speech therapy, and Barbara in psychology, and they both did very well in school. They both continued on to some grad work, and Barbara's now doing graduate work in counseling at Gannon in Erie. Yeah, she's doing that. Religious education, I would say, was actually more formal than mine, because we, by this time, my husband and I, and they lived on Beachwood Boulevard in Squirrel Hill, and they went to B'nai Israel Sunday School, but it was too difficult to take them there daily for Hebrew, and so they went around the corner to the Hebrew Institute for Hebrew. And they graduated from the Hebrew school and they were confirmed from the Sunday school. Barbara was bat mitzvah. Maxine never wanted to do that.
Was it unusual to have a
bat
mitzvah?
At that time, it wasn't usual. It wasn't the run-of-the-mill procedure, no. Now, in contrast to that, their own children, I think, particularly Maxine's because she lives in the city, and maybe Barbara's because she doesn't live in the city. It's strange how it works, but that is so. Maxine's children have had a fine, I think, formal Jewish education, and they started out at the Nazi religious school, but went to the School for Advanced Jewish Studies. Now, Barbara, on the other hand, since she has lived in Oil City, has become very active in her congregation. She's the president of her sisterhood up there, and she's very anxious to maintain a strong Jewish identity. It's very important to do that in a small town. It happens to be a very nice Jewish community up there, so it has a different difficulty. But I don't know that Barbara is as observant as Maxine, because Maxine does keep a kosher home strictly, not what is kosher is mine, but it is a kosher home. Barbara does not. But again, I think, in knowledgeable and they're intelligent about their research. So it's interesting to see how the kinds of education have changed from the generation from mine to Maxine and Barbara's to their grandchildren.
When did you finally learn Hebrew?
I can't say that I ever really learned it. I can't say that. Actually, when I was in Israel, in Palestine, in 1926, I had a couple of lessons. And that really started, you know, at that time I was all, I guess, 16 years old. You figure out the year that you were born. Then when I came back, I would take a course here and lesson there. Very informal. Very informal. I think perhaps I mainly saw. But I have gone to all of the adult education courses that we've been able to have at the congregation, and that have been given around in the city, as many of us have possibly taken, because this has always been my first spot and my first entrance. All kinds of synagogues and Jewish related activities. So, in spite of that, I've always been active in the youth movement. I was one of the first members of the Bi Youth Society.
Which just celebrated their 50th anniversary.
That's right, that's right. I was just a kid in the when I worked on that. I've always been interested in civic things for UJF and the community fund. I've always worked on those rights, but I've never had leadership positions. And of course, the Jewish organizations that go to that thing, I don't think there are hardly any of the city that I don't belong to or haven't been active in one past or another.
Did you ever do any work at the Montessori Hospital?
Not at the hospital, but at one time it was program service for Lady Cross the Lake. That's many years ago. Not at the hospital. And I was the vice president of Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations, and I was one of the early donor chairmen for Hadassah, and I was the women's division chairman for UJF twice. And I have been the president of Western Pennsylvania branch of National Women's League, which is a duty of that's all aside from having a good president in the 50s.
How many years were you president?
Oh, just three. And by the time I came along, the terms of office were sensible.
And your mother was for 20 years.
President there for 20 years, president of Lady Talk the Lay Society 20 years. And I think she was president of Blue Trump for Babies. I think only about 7 or 12 years. But in those days, this is what happened. People retained their presidency for a very long time of office. After she got out of office from Ladies Hospital A, then they put in the restricted terms of office, which was, of course, not for me.
You told us of your courtship and Mary, could you tell us about your husband now?
Well, he was a very special person, and he was very handsome, and he was just as fine and good as he could be. He had a very strong Jewish feeling and background. He actually came from a far more observant home, even than I. Much more strict. His mother was a dear person. I wish that all of my good friends that have a mother-in-law like her. She was a lovely, lovely woman. Tall, a handsome.
I what never was her
knew
name?
Her name was Dora Aiden, but she kind of knew her. I never knew my father. He died before we were married. But she was one of the ones, too, in contrast to my mother-in-law,
they raised their kids the hard way. His father was what we used to call a customer pepper. He went actually with a pack on his back to the small towns all around in Petal. And they had two kids in their family business, Ted and Bessie and Ida and Walter, Albert, Walter, Brad. That was eight. They raised eight children that way. And he died a rather young man, but before he died, Ted also took over the raising of the family. This was just typical for the Jewish population of that age. And the result was that most unfortunately, Ted was never able to have much more than, I don't think he finished, I know he didn't finish high school. He went to Central High School and he went there for 2 or 3 years. And it was a pity because he had potential capacity for really fine academic education. But he never had the opportunity, but he had to work. And he also had to go to the Army because the First World War broke out and he was just about 18. Mm-hmm. So he had to stop working and go to the Army and then come back and
was
work.
Was he in Europe for long?
No, he was only here at Camp Lee.
Oh.
He was here at Camp Lee, but it was enough to disrupt his working calendar, too. And at that time, Mother Abrams and Father Abrams had the struggle of raising this family on much more meager means than we ever had. And by the time Ted and I were married, he was the manager of Wolf and the Jewelry. And he was very prominent in the jewelry field. He was really an old bachelor. When he was married, he was considered almost old. It was 15 years difference between them.
When was he born?
1893.
And how old was he then?
When he was married, he was 39.
That's
pretty old. Yes, uh-huh. Nobody ever thought anybody would get him. Friends thought nobody would ever get him. But I did. And we had a beautiful
life. He was dropping those things on the floor.
Yeah. That's right. Poor Irene. At any rate, he was highly respected in the jewelry industry. He was president of the Pennsylvania Credit Jewelers Association. And generally, in New York or Pittsburgh or Chicago or wherever, they just looked up to him very much because he was a man of great integrity. But more important, he was a marvelous husband and a marvelous father. He was very good. Kind person and an understanding person, though I can't say that he was strict, and I can't say that by no means was he, but he wasn't too strict. There were certain standards that we just decided were ours and we would maintain, and fortunately we agreed on. We didn't have any conflict of what we thought was the right way. He had discussions. And we had arguments, and he could have killed me, and I could have killed him, but we would have never divorced each other. The old story. But we had a very beautiful life together, and then he became the president of the National Congregation, which was quite an honor to be the president of the Congregation. And he was there, he was the president of the Congregation at the time of its expansion. When he I have to look at those things for you. I can't remember what I think it was. We had at that time just the building on Negley Avenue, the sanctuary, and what was euphemistically called the social hall, which wasn't much more than a stable. And the fact, because that had been part of the old Mellon property back there, and we used that for our social hall, and it was horrible. Well, we finally got to the point where we could tear that stable down and build proper school rooms and a proper assembly hall. And he was the president at the time of that expansion. First my brother Jacob, he started it, and then Ted was there when the ground was broken for it. And because of that, instead of remaining as president just for 3 years, he remained for 4 years. And when they built the new building, what we call now the new building,
on Maple Avenue, which houses the Assembly Hall. They named the hall in honor of my mother, and it's called Mrs. Barnett Davis Assembly Hall. And that's a very interesting thing because they did it in her lifetime. It wasn't in her memory. It was in her honor, and she was alive tonight.
Oh, how lovely.
And it was a very beautiful honor. And appreciation of what she had done. And my children were married in the Mrs. Barnett Davis Assembly Hall, which gave it a beautiful honor. And, of course, Ted died yesterday. You're a veteran of effort. He was 82 years old, and just a very wonderful, beautiful man.
So you had
42 beautiful years that I wish for everybody.
Can you tell us something of the social life that you enjoyed together?
Well, I think the social life evolved and changed just as the times changed. As I told you, at the beginning of our married life, we went to concerts and we went to theater, and life was rather formal. Then he opened his business, one store in Uniontown, which necessitated his being there two nights a week. And because of that, our social life became very limited because the store was open on Saturday night, so there was no Saturday night doing.
You know about
that. For the longest time, I didn't have any idea of what it meant to go out socially Saturday night. But as the social scene in all Pittsburgh changed, so ours did. The concerts no longer came to town because they weren't, maybe will die. And they were no longer profitable. The wars had set in and so forth. And we were left really essentially with just the Y-cons. So we went to those. We would go to movies. We would entertain. We would be entertained in private homes. We ourselves never belonged to private clubs. We had no reason to because of the life that we had. Ted would say, quite interested in all athletics. He was a fine golfer, wonderful golfer. And free time that we had, we would go on vacation so he could play golf and I would play along with him.
Mm-hmm. Where did you take some of your family vacations?
We vacationed when the children were young. We all vacationed together. They never went to camp because very, very frankly and very honestly, we didn't see much point in spending so much money upon one little person's vacation. The same amount of money that could vacation an entire family, we didn't have that much money to be so free with. Because don't forget, by this time, I'm now an Abrams. I'm no longer a Davis. And we didn't have that kind of money. So that we took vacations with the children. We went to Cape May in Atlantic City. We went to Conneaut Lake. And we went to Borley's Lake. And we would do things of that kind. We went to Williamsburg and things of that kind with our children. Then as they grew older and Ted and I did vacation alone, then we went to Florida. We go to Atlantic City in off season. We go there either in the fall or in the early spring. And we would go to, later on, much later, when we started to go to Florida. But it actually wasn't until we'd only take a two-week vacation, and we gradually extended it to 3 weeks. And it wasn't actually until like the last 5 years of his life that we took a two-week vacation. Six weeks.
In Florida?
Sarasota. We went to Sarasota. He didn't like... He had been to the East Coast when he was a young man, and he didn't like it. I think he didn't like it because he got he was one of the ones. Do you know about the land boom down in Florida many years ago? Before Florida became so common, they sold lots in Florida, and he got stuck. And I think he lost a lot of money in it, so that was a big part of Florida. Not much allure for him, so we always went to the West Coast. We went to Arizona. have you all night.
Do you have any special hobbies?
I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, aside from my community work, my hobbies, I suppose, are a little bit of needlepoint, music, of course. There's a garden, and I garden.
I see also you're a collector of Judaica.
Oh, yes, I should have said that. I have to do a beautiful collection. Now, this was my mother's collection. The beginning of it was my mother's collection. She was a person that was very vain about anything.